Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up a little bit later on this hour in 30 minutes, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, will join us. Great week to have him on with all the discussion around the tush push. Once again, he played offensive line in the league. He's very familiar with the Philadelphia Eagles. He lives in that area. He calls preseason games for them. So he obviously has talked to them over the years about the tush push. I want to get his perspective on what we saw play out on Sunday, not only with the tush push, but the Chiefs, bigger picture, AFC West conversation coming up with Ross Tucker in about a half hour. Plus later on today, around 11:45 or so, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes will speak live here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. And since it's a Wednesday, maybe get a little bit more insight on where they believe Xavier Worthy is at. And make sure that there's not any new injury for anybody else that popped up, especially after seeing Hollywood Brown limp off at one point. Now, he came back in the game. Hopefully he's totally fine and everything. But, you know, sometimes
first day with an actual one. I'd like to see him maybe not be on the limited participant or some other nonsense, right?
Exactly.
Are you going to get the new, Adam Schefter's tweet out? Are you going to get the new NFL edition of Crocs, Gold?
No.
You're going to get yourself some Chiefs Crocs?
You know what? They look so comfortable. I've actually never owned a pair of Crocs in my life.
Me either.
And they're obviously very popular.
They're ugly shoes.
Yeah. Drew strikes me as someone that has multiple pairs of Crocs. Like, he's got a Badger one. He's got a Bengal one. He's got a K-State one.
At this point, I've only really seen him in slides.
I don't own one pair of Crocs.
Is anybody in the... Dusty, are you a Croc guy? Kramer says he's got... Dusty's a Croc guy. Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. They look comfortable though. But anyway, so what you're saying?
Get a pair and get those little stickers. They're on doing it. The little holes. You wear socks.
They partnered with the NFL, so now you can
you
get
like cinnamon and Cheerios. That seems like a Croc thing.
I'm gonna look like a clown. I'm gonna be in bright red Chiefs Crocs. Yeah. I'm gonna look like I should be going to kids' birthday parties.
You guys
want
to come to Eastern Jackson County? You can have Crocs, Zumba pants, a hole in your shirt that says '94 Division Champs.
I can't wait for the off-brand Crocs. I could probably get at a gas station off of 40.
Yeah.
You know how this works.
Does it say how much these NFL-branded Crocs are?
Here's the other part about Crocs.
What are those run normally? Are they like
Crocs,
$50
because
or
my kids own them. They're expensive. Yeah, they're like 40, 50 bucks.
I would guess 50. That's my guess there. Someone says if you're a nurse, Crocs are the best thing ever to wear.
Interesting.
They say they're very comfortable, I guess.
I know, but do they hold up?
Someone says game changer, guys. Get on the bandwagon from the 913. 913-586-7965.
Like 40, 50 bucks.
Slick as heck, someone says, on wet pavement.
Oh, I bet.
I can see that. Yeah, I mean, don't wear them in the wintertime. I can see if you're a nurse or somebody that has to stand a lot your entire day, actually, and move. I can see how they'd be pretty comfortable.
But like in restaurant work, everybody just wore like a shoe called Dance Co. Like there was like a brand of shoe for people who are on their feet all the time. Maybe Crocs have replaced that. I don't know.
It feels like if you're like, but from the times I've been at the doctor's office,
why is Adam
like,
Schefter tweeting this out?
It's Crocs are like on clouds.
Did Adam Schefter get some free Crocs for his kids? I mean, what is he tweeting out Crocs
I gotta
stuff
say,
for?
We probably haven't. This has probably been
Adam's pumped up.
Under now,
he's ready.
It's been under discussed. In the last 18 months, Adam Schefter has become the worst corporate shill of all time. The worst for the agents, for the NFL. It's out of control. He'll be happy to send out. Just partner with Tic Tacs to make red and yellow themed cheap. You're like, I don't care, Adam. I'm just here to just tell me if Matt Milano is playing a Hollywood Browns in the injury report. You tighten it up a little
you
bit.
Sound like the you sound
bit.
Like a few texts we get. Talk sport. I don't want to hear anything else about your life, Cody.
Quit just talking about
give me your Mahomes takes now.
No, it's more
that's
just
what you just sounded
it's
like.
More just like it's so corporate chill.
I agree.
It makes him seem like he's not a good source of information due to the fact that he's clearly doing some like just straight up marketing for the NFL. So when he sends out the NFL's fine with Tom Brady being the booth. I'm like, the hell do you care? You're practically an NFL employee at this point. You're firing off Crocs tweets.
Someone says, amazing house shoes haven't stubbed their toes in over a decade.
Okay.
It's worth it. It's
house
worth
shoes.
It.
It's a good house shoe.
That's no turf toe for them, I guess.
No 3 months on the IR or anything like that. All right. Did not expect to talk about Crocs, but I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I really am. All right. Let's discuss the NFL as a whole right now, specifically the number one seed. I think if you go back to some of our conversations we had around training camp and before that, we were looking at the AFC contenders, obviously Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, etc. And we were going through schedules, and I think even at the time there were some odds that existed for the number one seed in the AFC. And at that time, we had determined, hey, schedule-wise, it sets up to be the year for Buffalo to get the one seed. It's all right there for you. You could be 7-1, 8-0 or something like that before you play the Chiefs. I don't remember how many games they have, so bear with me. Someone will text in and say you were off by a game or whatever, but you get the point. They could be undefeated or one loss or so heading into the Chiefs game because of the schedule, and it sets up nicely to be the one seed. Well, then they go and they beat the Ravens on Sunday Night Football, and the Chiefs start 0-2. The number one seed conversation is already over in Kansas City. It should be. That should not be anything we're worrying about at this point. There's plenty of other things that have to get corrected. The number one seed was already going to be tough in the year 2025 with the division and everything. I think Buffalo's schedule sets up where they will be a 14-win football team.
Joke.
They will be a 14-win football team this year.
They'll be undefeated before they face the Chiefs. I'm like pretty confident. Barring them slipping up against their next two opponents are Miami and the Saints. They're combined winless. Neither have a win. And their schedule doesn't get harder after that. They also face Carolina before they take on the Chiefs.
They're going to be undefeated. The East plays the South this year.
They're going to be undefeated before they even play Kansas City. And so, look, the one seed is dead. We can just bury it today. We don't have to have even a long conversation about it. We thought it was a long shot before the season started anyway, Gold, and now it's dead. It died maybe the second they were 0-1. 0-2 for sure ended it, especially because you're two games back of Buffalo. Maybe if Buffalo had lost that first game to the Ravens, it could have had some life. It doesn't now. The question is, how much risk is the division? Because obviously we understand the Vegas-related odds to it have now shifted towards and in favor of the Chargers. But if I asked you right now, $1,000 even money, who wins the division? I'd still choose the Chiefs. Maybe it's the Kansas City part. Maybe I'm delusional in it.
Well,
I understand
is,
the Chargers' schedule's easier, but I don't think the division is dead.
I know the road will end eventually, and maybe this is the year as far as the 9 years in a row of the AFC West. But I'm with you, and people outside of Kansas City, maybe think you're being biased, but I tend to agree. Right now, I'm still in the spot where if they win Sunday and they get to 1-2, everybody takes a deep breath, and I still think knowing that you have another game against the Chargers, two still against the Broncos, two still against the Raiders, I think the division is still in play. Now, if you drop to 0-3, we're having a completely different conversation. The Chargers are playing the Broncos. If the Chargers are 3-0 with three division wins and you're 0-3, you got bigger problems than even worrying about the division at that point. Then we're having a conversation about the playoffs legitimately. So I think that, they get to 1-2, the division is in play still for them, but they're plus money. This is the first time you can get the Chiefs at like plus 230, plus 240, depending on the book, to win the West probably in about 6 years. So it's just a unique spot this early on in the season. But because of that it's 2 weeks in, now heading into week three, it's still, to me, way too early to pivot on a season prediction division-wise. Now, if you thought they were winning 14 games, I get why you think there's no way they're winning 14 now. I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
But if you thought they're winning the West, I don't think you bail on it yet. I think you wait till Sunday night and see if that game goes the way you hope it goes if you're a better of the Chiefs.
If they go 0-3, everyone will be right in their very proper and very real fear of what is happening to the Chiefs season. And like you said, with Cincinnati last year, it will start looking like you might have dug too big of a trench that even if you do solve some of your problems.
Yeah, at some point you have to win games.
Did you give yourself enough games in order to make up those differences in there? I still think the Chiefs should be the mental favorite, not the betting favorite. Those are different things. But just like who do I think is winning the division? I still think it's Kansas City. Partially because the Chargers had one bad opponent and one good opponent, let's say in Kansas City. And to this point, they've played some pretty good football, but they also played really good football and started 2-0 last year and then struggled. And they have no history of winning on a consistent basis. So I don't think they're just going to rattle off a 13-win season, a 14-win season. I think there are losses for the Chargers somewhere along the
that's
way.
That's the question. Is this a completely, just like people are questioning, is this Chiefs run over? Is the Chargers franchise in a different spot now with Harbaugh than they were before? Because typically you would say, oh, by week 12, the Chargers will start feeling the pressure of it all and they'll charge her, right? Yeah. That's what typically has happened. So there's still some of that in my mind. Right now, 2 weeks in, they look like a pretty well-polished team. They're not making mistakes. Herbert looks very composed. All that is true. Are they that way in week 10? I get the thought of waiting to see if they can handle the real pressure that goes with people.
Now, think you're winning the division.
If they start 3-0, everybody's going to start talking about them, not just as a division winner, Cody. People are going to have the conversation nationally. Are they a Super Bowl contender? That'll be a real convo. If you start 3-0 in the NFL in this division, people will have that thought. So, how do they handle that? That's not normal territory for Justin Herbert. You know, I think Harbaugh will handle it fine. You know, he's been around.
What's funny is Herbert again was 2-0 with 4 touchdowns and like 400 yards through his first 2 games last year, and then they lost 3 of 4. The Chargers do not get the benefit of the doubt yet. They've never won this division. This division hasn't been won by anyone in a decade that isn't named the Kansas City Chiefs. And to your point, Harbaugh does seem like a more stabilizing force than any coach they've had before, which is why they were a playoff team last year versus just coming up short like they had done in previous years. But the Chiefs have earned a lot of grace in the idea that they'll play consistent football and find a way to get there. Largely, this just means what you think the Chiefs' win total is getting to. And if we go through the schedule right now, it's kind of a tough time. If I go through the schedule right now, everyone's going to be like, lost to the Ravens, lost to the Lions, lost to the Bills, lost to the Chargers. They're going to just start racking them up. And you're going to find yourself looking at 9-8, pretending like they're incapable of beating a good team now that they've lost these first 2 games. That's just not accurate. You and I both know that they will beat some of those good teams. And I don't know. In a weird way, I'm like oddly confident that maybe they're just getting ready to win back-to-back, and then we'll just bury this conversation. And they'll beat the Giants, a team they definitely should beat, and have to beat, to be clear, on Sunday. And then everyone will be like, yeah, they're just going to lose to the Ravens, though, and start 1-3. And that's the game they'll actually win. And they'll be 2-2, and then we'll just be right back to square one. We're like,
I get it. I think that is the thought process we've had in Kansas City for a while. And the question, though, still is, we can say, well, that'll be the game they win. But we all just watch. There are certain things that they have to correct for that to happen. Like, it's one thing for us to say, oh, they will figure it out, or they won't lose this game. Mainly talking about the Ravens, not the Giants. But if they don't fix some of the glaring issues we've discussed the first 2 days of this week already, then they won't win those games. Like, it's not like there's just some magic switch. Like, they have to figure out how to run the ball even 10% better. You know what I mean? If they don't do that, they are going, if they don't do that, they will have the same issues in short yardage. Therefore, they will struggle to sustain drives and all that. And you know what, the scary thing right now for this team, it's not as if we're sitting here and 0-2 starting saying, man, everything will, you know, regression to the mean or whatever. They won't turn the ball over this much. They're not turning the ball over. Like, they had the one interception that eventually led to points, but this is not like a couple years ago.
A couple years ago, there was
the fluky fumbles and the ball's batted off of Tyreek's helmet that led to a pick. And I understand Travis Kelce dropped the ball and it led to a pick, but that's one. Like, this is not 2 games in and the Chiefs have 5 turnovers. You're like, oh, they'll clean that up. No, this is like legitimately fundamental issues right now with the team. There's nothing fluky that's happening in the losses. Nothing fluky has happened that caused these losses.
No, they're just playing bad football and disorganized offensive football. And the first game also played bad defense. And the second game, obviously, that was not the issue, but that's where they ran into it. Now, one of the guys who can obviously solve their problem is Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Who turns 30 today.
Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes.
So, yes, happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes.
Did you do a new song today?
Happy birthday, Patrick.
I already did a birthday song.
Enjoy your birthday, Patrick. Now, we'll say this thing aged. It's a cake, Patrick. The issue...
That's
is
like
that
4 years old, isn't it?
It says, I listened to the beginning of the song and said, just 25 years old and on top of the world, he's the number one quarterback that ever twirled. So it's cut.
That's 5 years old.
It needs a refresh. Happy birthday, Patrick. I should have done one for his 30th. It needs a refresh because it says he's 25 years old, and then it says a Super Bowl and an MVP.
Can you sing?
He's got a few more
of
those.
Can you sing that high-pitched anymore?
That's a good question. Times have changed.
That was very high-pitched.
Yeah, I don't know if I still have that. Yeah, I'd have to think about it. I can't do it while smiling.
Of course not.
Because then it'll screw it up. And the song says he has a Super Bowl and a MVP. To be clear, he's now a three-time Super Bowl MVP, three-time Super Bowl winner, and a two-time NFL MVP. Pretty good 20s for Patrick Mahomes.
And now here we go. What do the 30s look like for one Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I think what's interesting about this and the way I wanted to look at it is he had the best 20s of anyone's NFL career ever. Three-time Super Bowl champion, 5 Super Bowl appearances, AFC championship game every year, all 7, 6-time Pro Bowler, all of it, right? The accolades are all there. What I looked at was what Tom Brady did in his 30s. Because that's the person he's inevitably chasing too. He is not the person, I would say, in NFL history who had the single greatest run in his 30s. Although he had a great run. This is what Tom Brady did in his 30s. He finished with a 113-28 record, which is ludicrous. That's averaging a 13-3 season, essentially, over the course of that time. He threw 309 passing touchdowns to just 74 interceptions. He won 2 MVPs. He won only a single Super Bowl. He went to 3 and lost 2 to the Giants. And then he won one when he turned 40 right after that. But in his 30s, 1 Super Bowl win, 2 MVPs, a ton of regular season wins, a ton of touchdowns. He got into his touchdown throw. That's when he threw 30 touchdowns a year on average, only 7 or 8 interceptions a year on average, and won 1 Super Bowl. Would you lock that in? Would you take that from Mahomes right now? Will you take the Tom Brady decade?
I think the timing of this is interesting because if this question was asked a month ago, I don't know if we'd get 10% of the text line to lock it in. My assumption is, and we're going to find out, 913-586-7965. I'll give my answer in a second. But my assumption is from listeners and people in Kansas City, they are maybe slightly more likely to lock that in, given the current state of the 2025 Chiefs. Now, it's 1 year. It's 1 year. We have 10 more years. But is age 30. And during this 10-year run of the next 10 years from Mahomes, there's a good chance, a very good chance. This is not me trying to be Mike Florio by any means, but there's a very good chance, if we're being honest with ourselves, that Andy Reid is not here for the entire 30s of Mahomes' career, right? This just seems pretty realistic, okay? And so what does that do to this equation? I think there would be no hesitation for me to roll the dice a month ago.
You have hesitation now
to roll the dice because of where things
I'm
are trading.
I'm never locking it in. I'll take all these numbers, start blank slate, and just let Patrick Mahomes play it out. One Super Bowl,
locking this in is going to 3. For going to 3 more, that means a bunch of good seasons.
That means he would have been to 8 Super Bowls. 8,
and if he wins one more, that's 4. You're acting like I'm locking in for his first, and that's it. If I were a betting man, I'll tell you this. If I was a betting man and you gave me the over under 1.5 Super Bowls won the rest of his career or in his 30s, I would take the over, in fairness.
But you're saying you take the 1 to make sure he gets to 4.
Correct.
Which would give him the second most in NFL history, only behind
Tom
Brady.
But here's where people are getting confused. People are saying he has 2 rings left in him. I still get when he's 40, unless you guys think Mahomes is retiring at 39.
Tom Brady won 3 in his 40s,
right? So that's my point. People are taking as I'm locking him into 4 rings and that's it. No. I'm locking in guarantee 1 over the next decade. I can still get him to 5 or 6 when his career's over and in his 40s, Cody. So I'm way more willing to consider locking it in than I ever have been. But just for the 30s, 3 trips to a Super Bowl as a Chiefs fan, this is how spoiled we've become. 3 trips to a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl ring, and people are acting like I'm crazy for wanting to lock that in.
I gotta say, it seems low.
Oh.
He went to 5 Super Bowls in the last 6 years. I'm only getting 3 trips. All I'm saying is it feels low.
There's going to be a head coaching change during this 10-year run, probably.
I'm not disagreeing with a huge chunk of what you're arguing.
That might be the reason why you take it, actually.
And I think every other team on the planet locks it in. I think the Bills lock it in. I think the Bengals lock it in. I think they all lock it in. They don't even hesitate.
Mm-hmm.
Say, give me 3 trips to the Super Bowl. Give me the win. Get my guy on the board, Lamar. I think they all take it. With Patrick, I still, even though he just turned 30, I'm still greedy.
I also eliminate any injury risk by doing this.
I know. You're taking out the chance that like something derails it.
I'm guaranteed 1, and it doesn't prevent me from winning more in when he's 40.
And he was interviewed for a long form article today. I think it was taking place in training camp, but he released it today, obviously, on his 30th birthday. And a chunk of the article was talking about how he views his future and how long he wants to play and all this other stuff. And rather than some of the sentiment he had said early in his career, which was, I don't want to play into my 40s, which was something he had kind of like maybe murmured at the beginning. Now, essentially, he's like, I follow Tom Brady's method of how long can I keep my body at the level it needs to be. I think Patrick Mahomes' ultimate success that he's had in his 20s is going to make him want to play longer into his 40s than he originally thought. Because of the idea that you are chasing all-time greatest. One more Super Bowl win, he's already the second greatest quarterback of all time. I'd argue he already is. Yep. But there's still some quarterbacks who have four, not three rings. So that part of it is also a challenge.
I think Gold's point about Andy Reid not being the coach for that entire tenure is the reason why you take it.
Oh, because we just don't know who the coach is going to be after?
I think that in... Let's just say, play it out. Let's say Andy Reid retires in 4 years and Matt Nagy's still there. Matt Nagy, the Chiefs ask Andy for his blessing and who he wants. He wants Matt Nagy, and Matt Nagy's the head coach.
I don't think they're just going to promote Matt Nagy like everyone thinks.
I think that Gold's point of no Andy Reid is why you actually lock in the one and the going to three.
And again, I'll keep saying it. It doesn't mean he can only get one more. It means you're guaranteeing one, and then I have to wait until he turns 40, and then he can win a couple more. And I could still end up with five or six. So I would actually lock it in the way things are trending, just with the league as well right now, and with defenses and the way
in the AFC and the quarterbacks in it.
I don't want to be this person, but
oh boy,
Tom's career. Obviously, since we're comparing to Tom, he didn't finish his career on the same team he started with.
Oh, yeah.
So are we talking, is there, I mean.
This is his career. This is just his career.
This is just Patrick Mahomes. This is not with the Chiefs.
This is just his career. I tend to think he will
finish. His entire 30s is going
to
spin. I don't think another team will make that mistake.
He should be. He should be.
Unless they draft Steve Young, doing it is insane. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah.
The 49ers moved on from Joe Montana. They didn't look stupid.
The question,
because they kept winning after he was gone.
They might be the only team that did that, because the Colts.
Nah, Packers. Packers didn't care. They told Brett Favre to kick rocks and immediately had Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't skip a beat.
That's a good point.
So there are teams that successfully do it.
Well, in recent history, we have seen plenty of guys not finish their career with the team that they started with. Russell,
but they just didn't win anything.
Well, what do you mean Russell Wilson, I bet you after Russell Wilson won his Super Bowl in Seattle, nobody thought by 2023 he would have been on or 2022 he would have been on a different team.
The reason why we make a bigger deal about Patrick Mahomes versus the other is the Packers let go of a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
Brett Favre didn't win anything. Then you go to like what we just mentioned, the Joe Montana left. He didn't win anything. So those teams didn't regret letting go of their quarterback because those guys left.
Right, but I just gave you an example. Russell Wilson won something. They let him go. You know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers did win something with Green Bay. They eventually let him go. Peyton Manning won something in Indy. They did let him go.
I'm saying after when they let him go, the teams that regretted are the ones who let him go. Peyton Manning is actually the example of that.
Gotcha. You're saying.
After the fact. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are the two guys who they let walk and still accomplish something after.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is that. But we have seen plenty of guys, though. I'm not arguing that the organization. I'm not saying the organization shouldn't want to retain the guy. I'm saying that there's been examples. Not many guys are finishing their career with the team they started with. Now, I do think the lesson of what happened in Tampa would also mean, hopefully, that you always side with the quarterback if you're the Chiefs. Like, you know, in 10 years from now, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy and everything like that, and by then Andy Reid won't be the head coach, so who knows what his relationship like is with future coach X? Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is, right? That would play a role, but you have to make sure you keep your quarterback happy through all that.
Can I say with the Nagy stuff, I think it'd be tantamount, and this is not even a knock on Nagy, it would be corporate neglect to have Andy Reid leave and not open up that job to any possible candidate.
Well, I think
I 100% agree.
Process.
I'm not saying you can't hire Nagy. I'm just saying this better be an open conversation amongst the best available people who are all available for the job. The other part about this is, I don't think there's any way Clark doesn't go with an established head coach because of what he did before and how it worked when he got Andy.
But you already know
this. He's going to try to go established.
I think that the fact that Andy at this point is the greatest Chiefs coach of all time. I think that
he's one of the three greatest NFL coaches of all time.
Right. I think that, are we sure that Andy wouldn't have an extreme amount of input to the level of maybe Andy himself almost is hiring the head coach?
I don't know.
In a way.
I don't think so.
Some of it also depends.
This isn't college. I think you watch college too much.
I know, but I think Bill Snyder
tries to make his kid the head coach. That didn't happen as much at the pro.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, if Clark Helm was like, hey, Andy, who do you think should be the next head coach? And Andy gives an extreme input and is a big reason and is a big factor in choosing who's going to be the next coach for Patrick Mahomes.
I'm trying to remember, and someone on the text line can help me out. What's the last example, or is there more than one, in the last 20 years? And maybe there is. I honestly don't know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Of an example of what you're saying happened, where a coach was somewhere and he picked the replacement. I don't know if that ever happens in the NFL.
Because Andy would be Andy's going to go out on his own terms.
Well, sure.
To the point where I don't think Belichick was ever going to decide who the next guy was. But most guys either get fired, the owner gets tired. I think Andy is the exception to the rule in this case, where Andy has such a good relationship where Belichick and Tom seem to go at it often. It seems like Andy and Pat never
have more of a say than Andy will.
Oh, well, as he should. But I think Andy's going to be a part of the decision. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. It also depends. What's that final year or two look like? Is it making AFC title games the final 4 or 5 years of the career, or is it missing the playoffs 2 of the final 3 years? I mean, there's a lot of stuff we don't have the answer to.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating conversation. It's a day that nobody wants to talk about. In Kansas City, whether that's 4 years from now, 7 years from now, I have no idea. Up next, though, let's talk to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, about the tush push, about how the Chiefs are looking, and, of course, the AFC West and the Chargers 2-0 start.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting started here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold. We'll talk about some of the 0-2 teams, of course, along with the Chiefs, and which one actually stands out from all the rest of that 0-2 grouping 2 weeks into the NFL season. That's coming up in just a bit. But great time to talk to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Of course, insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, a lot to get into. I want to definitely get your perspective on the tush push here in just a bit, but 0-2, first time in Mahomes' career. You know the Eagles pretty well. We all saw the Super Bowl, and then now we see it a second time. What did you make of how the Chiefs stacked up this go-around against the Eagles? Did you feel like there was some improvement there? What do you think is the biggest issue for Kansas City?
Well, there was definitely improvement because Mahomes wasn't getting absolutely crushed every play, and they were able to block up the Eagles a little bit better. You know, Mahomes, you could tell how bad he wanted to win that game with how much he was using his legs, that's for sure. That was like the Chiefs' best offense for a big portion of the game. And I would also say the Chiefs improved because they were doing that without a lot of their guys. I mean, it's kind of crazy to see the second half of the game and fourth quarter, and they're trying to come from behind, and Mahomes is out here chucking the ball to Tyquan Thornton and Nico Remigio. I mean, I don't think any Eagles fans have ever even heard of either one of those guys. it's pretty remarkable. You know, let's put it this way. The Eagles' passing attack is not exactly firing on all cylinders right now, but it'd be a lot worse without Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, that's for sure.
I think the way I look at it, I know it hasn't related to wins yet, but Mahomes is like, you know, he's trying to win for the reason you mentioned, in the sense that he's playing it like a playoff game. Like, he's putting it all out there in an effort to get even 5 yards, if that's what it takes to get out of him. My fear is just like, he can't play that style for 17 games. Like, that That can't last. They can't operate that way forever, Ross. He's a gamer, but like they can't play that way.
No, for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, the injury risk, but teams will also, you know, the Eagles adjusted a little bit in the second half, and they certainly, you know, did a better job against him in that regard. You know, all that said, you know, whether you call it the Travis Kelce drop or Mahomes throwing the ball a little too early or combination of both, you know, they that if that doesn't happen, it's a pretty good chance they win the game. I mean, they're right there. Mm-hmm. That was the play of the game. That was the game-changing play. You know, whatever you want to call it, 14-point swing, 10-point swing. It made a huge, huge difference, clearly. So they still had a chance to win the game. And they obviously, not only did they do a better job of protecting Mahomes than they did in the Super Bowl, but they certainly did a better job on defense as well.
How much trouble, I guess, do you think they're actually in? They're 0-2. They get the Giants on Sunday. We all know that Worthy has a decent chance to play Sunday. We know Rice is coming back. But at some point, you know, you do have to start winning games. So where's the panic meter? Where should that be at, in your opinion?
Well, if 10 is like the highest panic and 1 is none, I would put it at, I don't know, 3 or 4 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they're going to beat the Giants, which will go a long way. I think they're going to get Worthy back. The question about Worthy, the interesting thing about Worthy is just, I believe he's going to have like a harness or whatever they call it, you know, for the rest of the year. You know, different guys react differently to that. Some guys, you don't even notice they have it and they play awesome. Other guys, it kind of becomes an issue, you know, like, it's one of those where they're not playing as well as they had earlier, and people are wondering why that's the case. You know, that's certainly something to keep an eye on. But I definitely think they'll be a lot better when they have both Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy out there. Even just having one of them would help tremendously, but both for sure.
Ross, let's talk a little bit about the tush push. Obviously, that became a major national talking point out of the game because of the zoomed-in versions of some of the false starts. We're on this show of saying two things can be true. You can both be committing the penalties and it having an impact on the game, and I'm not here to try to tell you it's the reason they lost the game either, but they're going to be under an absolute microscope now, right? The NFL and the referees are going to have to watch this harder than ever because of the conversation it got. We likened it to when Chris Collinsworth went off on Juwan Taylor, and he spent the rest of the next two seasons being watched like a hawk.
Yeah, I've been kind of saying, I said this on the Ross Tucker podcast, that it feels like, you know, the Eagles kind of won the battle but might have lost the war in terms of the tush push, because there's such an uproar again. It was the, you know, highest profile game of the regular season so far. Everybody's watching it. Super Bowl rematch. And to A, have that much success with it, but then B, for them to clearly have a couple false starts that weren't called, that's probably enough, I would guess, that for them to be able to get a couple owners to go ahead and change their mind and be able to get rid of it this offseason. I think we've probably talked about it before, guys. The thing that people don't realize is most of the people don't like it. They don't want it in there because they don't like how it looks stylistically, right? Which is fine. Everybody has their own right, whatever. The problem is that it's really not going to change all that much. You know, if they outlaw pushing from behind, the Eagles are still going to run quarterback sneak. It's still going to be a massive humanity. Hurts is still going to go to the left. And maybe it's not quite as successful because the push helps him, you know, sometimes that second surge, but it's still going to be really successful. I just don't feel like they're really, it's really going to change all that much. And I think people kind of lose sight of that, but yes, I would expect them to be very ready to throw the flag on any violation or perceived violation by the Eagles on that play, because obviously it's pretty clear that most of the people or the league office or whatever, they don't like him. Even Dean Blandino saying during the game, mm-hmm. he doesn't like it. They just don't like it.
What have you seen on the Chiefs' offensive line? And we know the investment they've made over the last couple of years, not just the first-round pick this year in Simmons, but you know, literally financially, Creed Humphrey's the highest-paid center, Trey Smith, the highest-paid guard in NFL history, Jawan Taylor, you know, is the second-highest-paid player on the team cap-wise this season, and yet short yardage, they can't get a yard, Ross. Is this a running back issue where they should have invested more in the offseason there? Is it just a scheme? What are you seeing from an O-line that they should have the guys to get it done?
Sounds to me like they should run the tush push.
right. Although, well, we want them to do QB sneak.
So bad. Andy's afraid.
He won't do it.
Well, I know Mahomes got hurt doing it, so he won't do it again. It's just crazy. Like, of all the plays to get hurt, a quarterback sneak, which, by the way, they shouldn't run the tush push because nobody can run it nearly as well as the Eagles, which is, to me, the most interesting part. It's not the part isn't interesting that nobody can stop it. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just that what good of a design play. The it's such a copycat league. The crazy part is that nobody can do it.
I think it's that nobody. I just think no one else in the league can squat thrust a semi truck like Jalen Hurts.
Well, I think his strength helps, but the secret really is Landon Dickerson and then Mailata. I mean, those guys are absolute monsters. And I think Mailata, with his, you know, being from Australia, playing rugby his whole life, I think he teaches the other guys the technique much, much better than what these other teams try to do it.
Ross,
you know, they realize it's like the second surge and it's keeping your feet moving. And I think the other teams don't do it as much. To your point about the Chiefs, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that they should be getting more out of their offensive line with what they've invested in it. I think the left side will continue to grow. I'm still, like, absolutely in awe of what Simmons did on Sunday chasing down Makubo. I mean, that was, like, I can't tell you how impressive that is. It's amazing.
When you look at the rest of the league, I'm always curious. Let's leave Cincinnati out of the conversation because they just lost Joe Burrow. Who of the 2-0 teams do you think is more fraudulent? You know, you say don't panic on the 0-2 Chiefs. Who are those 2-0 teams that you're like, I'm not really buying it? Colts, Cardinals. I don't even care if you don't think the Bills are as good as they've looked so far in the early going. Who in that squad are you a little more leery of despite the fact they've been winning?
Probably the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, well, I mean, I don't even know if the Cincinnati Bengals count now that they lost Burrow. I won't even count the Bengals now because they're not going anywhere. But I think the Colts, Bills, and Chargers are pretty legit. I think the Cardinals are the team that, you know, they've played two really bad teams. I mean, they played the Saints and the Panthers. They are two of the worst four or five teams in the Ross Tucker, you know, podcast power rankings. And they didn't even look all that great. I mean, they won the game, which is all that matters, but it's not like they looked all that great doing it. So, I would certainly say, to me, it's them. It's the Arizona Cardinals.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. I think you're a good person to ask this question to because you've been part of not only TV and radio broadcasts, you obviously played in the league as well. And there was a bunch made of Tom Brady being in the coaching booth and obviously being a broadcaster, being a minority owner. And that all came back to light again after Monday Night Football. Cody and I differ on this. I think some of it is overblown in terms of what people think he's getting out of these production meetings, other than for a broadcast perspective versus what it could be used for personnel decisions. What do you make of this? Should he be allowed to have the access he has?
Well, I guess I'm okay with him having the access he has, but now it's just up to the teams to decide what they say to him. You know, because he's not able to go to the facilities. It all has to be remote. So it's really just up to the teams to as to what they say to him, and I think that they'll be pretty tight-lipped. Matt, it's not like they give away state secrets in these meetings. It's not like they're telling you what play they're going to run, but they do give you information about personnel. I mean, it depends. It varies from team to team and coach to coach, but they do try to help you out and make sure you're informed about their squad for the broadcast. Guys playing well, guys not, you know, things that guys do better at than others, things where they struggle. You know, like Brady's doing Bears-Cowboys Sunday, and then the following week the Raiders play the Bears. And now we know that Brady meets with Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll, you know, virtually two or three times a week and gives them information, you know, a sounding board. If you're Ben Johnson, I wouldn't want to tell Brady really anything about the personnel on my team or any really type of insight about into what he's thinking, a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I guess the way I look at it is it probably is not good for the rest of the people on his crew, you know?
I agreed on that. And I also just think that it's a black eye for the NFL to allow it. Cause like, I see a lot of people just be like, they're not telling you that much. And they're like, cool. Then I just want Spags in the meeting. Is that okay? Like, it's no different. Brady's got a headset on game day. Can Spags and Brett Veach attend the meetings or no? And so, like, if you're not, my problem is that whether it's small or perceived, it is an advantage given to one team and one person, not the league, Ross. It's just one person who gets an extra thing that nobody else gets.
Yep. I think that's fair. I think it's true. I think that what the deal is that you just don't say anything to them then. I mean,
yeah.
I think those production meetings will be not as beneficial for his crew moving forward, especially for the teams that are playing them this year, like especially the Bears this week. That I would love to know what that means. to reverse it, right? If Tom Brady was quarterback for the Bears this week, and Bill Belichick was head coach for the Bears this week, they would say nothing, right. Literally nothing, to the Raiders owner / broadcaster, whoever that is.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're...
We're playing football this week. You like anything about it? Nope, just that we're planning on playing the game.
Yeah, it would be something like that. Ross, where are you headed this weekend? You doing some college games as well?
Nope. Tonight... I have, or tomorrow night, I've got Dolphins at the Bills on radio for Westwood One. And then on Sunday, I've got the Colts, the 2-0 Colts.
Yeah.
Looking good at the 0-2 Titans, number one pick, Cam Moore. That's a good one. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. We'll be listening. We'll be watching. Thanks, Ross.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
There you go. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Yeah, he's busy this week. He's got a couple NFL games. Suddenly, yeah, the Colts, before I'll be out, like, I'm sure if he was Colts Titans initially, you're like, oh,
gross. Now you get the number one overall pick in a good Colts team.
Yeah, the game has a little more juice than what it probably looked like 3 weeks ago, you know, when you saw that matchup coming up in a week three.
Sure. Yeah, Cam Ward hasn't been sharp yet, but I've also seen some things that make it maybe slightly encouraging. It's kind of like watching when you watch Caleb Williams rookie year. Will it all come together? Don't know. But at least a couple of encouraging things. But yeah, the Colts are far more interesting.
Let's talk about, you asked me the question about the 2-0 teams and what team's fraudulent. How about on the 0-2 side, who do we actually think is the worst team in football right now? So here are the 0-2 teams. I'll run through it real quick. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, obviously, the Browns, the Texans, and the Titans. And then on the NFC side, it's the Giants, it's the Bears, it's the Panthers, it's the Saints. Now, we all
part
had
of
our,
this is the company you are keeping right now. It's not great. The Chiefs. Dear God.
And that's the thing. One of these teams is not like the other, right? Like the others. I mean, that's clearly the Chiefs. Now, we all had preseason views of some of these teams. Like, we all thought the Saints were going to stink anyway. I actually would argue Spencer Rattler hasn't been that bad.
No, he's been okay. They've been competitive.
Who's the worst team in football? I still don't think it's the Dolphins because, in my mind, there's still too much talent on the team for them actually to be the worst team in football. There's some teams that are 0-2. You're like, they just don't have the quarterback. They don't have any of it. We can think Tua is not great. he's still better than some of the quarterbacks these other teams are trotting out there. Some of them are going to have backups out there this week due to injuries. So right now, I do think Tennessee stinks. I think they're bad. They got a rookie quarterback. I don't know who the hell he's throwing the football to. Their coach, I'm not a big fan of either. I think he'll be gone at the end of the year. My pick right now would actually be the Tennessee Titans.
I think it's the Panthers. I think they're going to pick number one overall, and they're going to draft a new quarterback
and
cut ties with Bryce Young. They're getting him three full seasons. They would have already benched his ass once.
They did.
In the middle of his NFL career. They'll have the number one overall pick, and they'll wash the Bryce Young era away into the wind.
You think they're worse than the Saints?
Yes. They have. I like the Saints' offensive weapons better. I like the Saints' secondary better.
Defensive line is pretty good.
Tell me what the Carolina Panthers do well. They have no running game. They have no wide receiver. Maybe like Tet. Xavier Leggett's not working out in year two. So like maybe Tet, a rookie wide receiver, is a good NFL player. They got no one else outside of that. They bad cover team. They don't get pressure. Like they don't. Dave Canales had to be offered 5 years just to take or 6 years just to take the damn job. I think that is the worst team in the NFL. Again, I think that's the worst team in the NFL. I'd make an argument for Cleveland, but their defense is too good.
I can make an argument for multiple teams. I'm just trying to give you one. It doesn't mean I think the Jets are any good either. I had to narrow it down to one.
Who's the Jets starting at quarterback this week?
Tyrod, right? Or is he going by Tyrod or Tyrod? I can't remember what he switched it to. Right. But
Tyrod best Taylor, backup of all time.
That's right. All right. What about you? I'll read some texts as well in a second.
I think the Titans, I agree with you, Gold. I think the Titans are the worst, but you know, you can make a case. Like, they still have Jeffrey Simmons on that defense. I mean, the Titans' defense doesn't look terrible. They've been okay. If it's not the Titans, I'm actually going to say the Browns. Joe Flacco has been awful.
He has been awful.
And they have no wide receivers. Jerry Jeudy, and it's really not even Jerry Jeudy. It's Cedric Tillman, who's the best wide receiver they have. Who knows if they're going to start Dylan Gabriel soon. The offense stinks bad enough where I think the Browns are just second on that list, even though they have that defense.
How many more, though, is why I give him credit over some of the other ones.
The entire defense, but it hasn't meant anything. They gave up 41 to the Ravens, and Derrick Henry had a dud of a game.
But that game was like 13-13 in the fourth quarter, and then they just like let up a couple and just let the game
in
get
week
away.
One, it was 17-16 loss to Cincy when they still had a healthy Joe Burrow. But yeah, I think there's too many playmakers there. Now, how many more weeks do you guys think Joe Flacco gets before they go to Dylan Gabriel?
One, they're going to play the Browns this week. They're going to
They
play the Packers. They'll lose that one, and then Gabriel will be in against the Lions.
I feel like that's where it's trending. They don't want to throw the rookie against the Packers defense right now.
How many wins do you think they have? The Browns might only win three. They might have the worst record of football at the end of the year.
It's definitely plausible.
They might only have three wins.
Their next 3 weeks, next 4 weeks, let's call it.
That's some poor sucker
Packers
drafted by them.
Packers, Lions, loss, Vikings, loss. Steelers.
Let's see if J.J. McCarthy's
then they have an easier stretch of Dolphins, Patriots, Jets.
Okay.
Followed by Ravens, Raiders, Niners, Titans, Bears, Bills, Steelers, Bengals. So, I think there
four
are
wins.
Three.
Four wins?
I think they can... The question
picking
is
in the top five.
How long do they, you know, does Dylan Gabriel start in 2 weeks, and then is Gabriel any good or does he suck?
And then they just go to Sanders.
So it's and then they just find out right away. We don't have a quarterback still. We're going to draft another one next year.
I gotta say it was pretty.
Garrett Nussmeier, future starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
The biggest knock on Sanders is that despite the fact it was clear he was going late in the draft, he was still looking for a place where they might actually let him start. That rumor, that story out, and a lot of it is because people just don't like Sanders, so they keep leaking stuff that makes
Baltimore
him look bad. Yeah, they didn't want to be the backup to Lamar. He wanted a chance to be somewhere where he might have a chance to start a game in the NFL this year. The only way that was going to happen with Lamar is if he got hurt. Although I would argue, based on your skill set, I don't know why you wouldn't want to back up Lamar. Based on that coach, that
he isn't
staff,
the same type of QB as Lamar, though. But
yeah, they're not as Sanders doesn't move well.
If Shadur was picked first,
he doesn't move well.
If Shadur was picked in the first round, he still would be backing up Lamar. It wouldn't matter where he was picked.
I know, man, but they went from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson and showed zero difficulty in switching their entire offense.
Yeah, yeah.
They went from statue of a quarterback to the most mobile quarterback on the planet and changed their offense in the middle of a season, and it did not impact them. And so, if there's a coaching staff,
how good
can do
coach
it.
John Harbaugh is.
Text line, somebody said the Titans might bring the Colts back down to earth this week, and someone else saying the Jets are the worst 0-2 team, meaning the worst team in football. Up next, Patrick Mahomes is doing something that's just simply not sustainable for the offense and for himself the rest of the year, and we'll get to the trash of the day next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.